Live from Next Gen Studios, this is The Sports Page.
Happy Saturday and welcome to The Sports Page on Next Gen Media. Got your hosts here, Ashton and Chris. What's going on, Chris?
How you doing?
Man, it's good. You know, we always do the show on the weekends or near the end of the week, and it's always like puts me in a better mood because it's something I'm looking forward to all week.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when, you know, the Cowboys are doing real good. They're looking real good out there. So it's definitely great to talk about.
Yeah. And this is, you know, pre-recorded now, but we still post these on Saturdays. And when we started the Sports Page, it was a live show on JoCo Radio. So we had to commit to a time and place every week. So we thought Saturday nights were the best times. The problem is, you know, we're talking about Cowboys stuff nearly a week after. Like, people are tired of hearing it. Well, not right now when they're winning, but people get tired of hearing it, and it's hard to get in there and give your take on it and bring something different to the table because it's just been regurgitated so many times on sports radio. But, you know, I'm not going to do a disservice to anybody. I enjoy talking about the Cowboys, especially when they win. So that's what we're going to do. Who saw this coming? You know, I figured, you know, okay, they did good against the Buccaneers. That's what they do. They usually don't get blown out when you think they're going to get blown out. They play a better team. They'll get close and then they'll lose. That's what
right.
We figured. Yeah.
That's how it's always been. Yeah.
That exactly. And I always think they play the really good teams and it's going to be close and it drives you nuts. Occasionally they'll win, but it drives you nuts because they could have won that game. And then the bad teams, they, I guess, play down to them and let hang around. And most of the time they win. And then you're just like, this is stupid. I'm not even really happy that they won. They should have blown them out. But then they play the Chargers. We're like, okay, Chargers are a solid team. I didn't expect that. Herbert's a good quarterback. And they, you know, may have gotten a couple of breaks in the Chargers game. But they won. A win is a win.
Absolutely.
Against the Eagles, they just rolled over them. Eagles aren't a good team. You know, every time I try not to let myself get too hyped.
Yeah.
And then they play the Cardinals, undefeated Cardinals. Still Sam Darnold, but he's been playing really good this year. Really crazy game. It's hard to believe. They were trailing 14-13 at halftime.
Oh, yeah, the Panthers game last week?
Yeah, this last game. They,
right.
And then Dak explodes and throws three touchdowns in the third quarter. Zeke's crazy. I think that's when Zeke's 40-yard run was in the third quarter.
Right, yeah.
Diggs gets a couple more interceptions. And then it's like they tried to give it back because they ended up winning by 8, but it seemed like they won by a lot more than that.
Yeah, that game was – it wasn't – like the score didn't really depict like the actual game. That third quarter was probably one of the best quarters I've might have ever seen from like a Cowboys team. Maybe within the last maybe decade or so. It was just dominant on both sides of the field. Yeah. And you know, what can you say about Dak? Like, you know, coming off of probably, I mean, that was the worst football injury I've seen, like, you know, live, maybe. And to come off that and to play the way he has is just, you know, it's just a testament to like his, you know, his work ethic, his drive, his passion. And, you know, he's just a great guy to root for.
Yeah. He only threw for 188 yards, but that's because that's just the game they were playing. They didn't need to throw for a lot, especially after they got up big in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really weird game because you want to say, well, that the score doesn't depict what the game was, but it's like neither does the third quarter. The third quarter was just kind of out of nowhere, and the fourth quarter it's hard to tell. You know, people want to say, well, here they are giving it up, but I like to say, well, they're playing prevent defense. They're completely changing how they play defense, thinking, okay, they can gain 10, 15 yards. That's okay. We can deal with that. Just don't let them throw a 50-yard bomb for a touchdown. You know, let them just get, you know, if they're probably going to score a touchdown on this play, we're going to allow a touchdown, but we're going to make him take 6 minutes off the clock. tied. That's what you have to understand. When you're up by three scores, you don't play real tight defense, because then they get a touchdown, they get the momentum, they'll get a touchdown, a touchdown drive off of two plays, and then the momentum switch. Like, no, let's, back up a little bit. But right. It was kind of crazy how they kept Diggs off the field for that long.
Yeah. And I heard he had some, he was off because he had like some back tightness or something like that.
And that doesn't make you feel better. I mean, you want the coaches to be competent, especially after some of the time management issues. You're like, okay, you're managing him, which I get, you're up by a lot. Okay. But then you're like, oh, well, he had a back issue. You're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And you're like, wait a minute. I don't want him to have a back issue. That's one of the worst things. Like, maybe a pulled hamstring or even a broken leg, that's going to keep you out a while. But once it heals, it's healed pretty much. You probably aren't going to have issues long term. Right. But a back, I mean, look at Tyron Smith. It's just constant with them, which I'm going to knock on wood. He's been great.
Yeah, he's been great this year. Yeah, he's been a Pro Bowl caliber. So he's like one of those guys where you don't want to jinx him, because he's such a great player, and it's like he just he's been dealing with injuries for the latter part of his career. So,
and honestly, I'm thinking of it like a Porzingis type situation where exactly. If Tyron can just be on the field for 10 to 13 games this year, I think we'll be okay. And I haven't even thought about that. I mean, obviously Michael Gallup was hurt in the first game. Tank is out, and it really hasn't mattered that much. Well, it may have. It makes it good that, okay, yeah, we're doing all this without them. We're getting extra reps for younger guys. I mean, damn, you're seeing defensive line players, rookies, getting in there and having good games. And you're just thinking, yeah, this is good. Let's build them up. And then when Tank comes back, when Gallup comes back, we're just going to be even stronger. And there's very little to look at so far this season and make you worry. Other than that, if you're a Cowboys fan, you just know how this plays out or should play out. That's what kind of worries me.
That's me. Yeah. That's definitely me. I'm, I've been a Cowboys fan for a long time, and it's like, it was one of these recent years. They started out with 3-0, and then they went 5-8 the last 13 games. So it's like, you don't want to get too high. But
a couple years ago. But you look at it, it's always the same thing. Oh, their schedule's so weak. And then you're like, oh, yeah. But and for the most part, their schedule is weak, especially from here on out. Right. Giants. I mean, who knows how the Patriots are going to turn out. But that looks like a very winnable game. Then you're playing the Vikings, and even the Chiefs the Chiefs game doesn't look as bad as it did before.
Right.
But they have had a hard schedule. I mean, the Buccaneers are 3-1. The Chargers are 3-1. The Panthers are 3-1. And it's like, honestly, they should be 4-0. If you want to push it, forget the no call pass interference, which really screwed them. But Zerline missed two field goals and an extra point. So it makes you feel better about it going forward. And even the coaching situation, I've talked to some people, like when you follow your team so closely, more things stick out. I was talking to, ironically, it was a guy he's not from this country, but he's a huge football fan. But he's a fan. He's not a fan of the Cowboys. He's a fan of the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of talking about it, and I said, man, if our coaches could just get, their time management issues and this and that. And he said, really, everybody has that. Everybody thinks they have that issue. It's that you're just focused on, he remembers because he covered the Packers back in when they won their last Super Bowl, when they won it here in Dallas.
Right. Yeah.
And ironically, it wasn't a head coach issue, but they thought they had major coaching issues. But, most of the country didn't think of that. Most other teams didn't focus on their injuries as much. Even going back to Jason Garrett, from other teams that weren't focused on the Cowboys, they didn't look at Jason Garrett as – they thought he was a really good coach, compared to what we, thought.
Yeah,
But
from the
we're
inside as
covering
well.
it and seeing all of the negative things, as opposed to when you're not focused on a team and all you're seeing is the highlights on ESPN or all the good stuff, and you just see that they're winning, that forget the fact that, Jason Garrett coached, outside of a few 8-8 seasons, the only losing seasons he had are when Romo was hurt.
Right.
Like who
Yeah.
you lose your quarterback. So overall, Garrett was a very good coach. I mean,
Right.
looking back at it, like stats, and he's a very boring coach, and you want to say he
Oh.
clapped all the wrong times. But
Right.
that's the mentality I want to be in right now is, okay,
Yeah.
maybe our coaching isn't, top notch, but it's not as bad as we think it is.
I think because we have some great, assistant coaches. I feel like Kellen Moore and, Quinn get most of the credit, but I feel like, Mike McCarthy should get the credit because he would get the blame if, if they were failing or if they were losing. I feel like we should give him a little credit for allowing his coaches to be that, let them do what they do, let them do what they get paid for. And he's, like looking at Kellen Moore, like he's looking like one of the best, OCs in all of football. He's taking what the defense gives him. He's
He's letting
okay.
him coach. He's letting him
Yeah,
do his job. And
he's let, yeah.
Kellen Moore has been with the Cowboys for a while. And I think Garrett's
Right.
last year is when Garrett said, "You can call plays." And we kind of got a little taste of that. We're like, "Hey,
Right.
this is different." But he still held him back, I think.
Yeah, Jason Garrett was, it was like him, he was like over his shoulder in a sense. And it was just like, okay, Mike McCarthy came in. He's like, okay, now this year, I'm gonna just let you, I'm gonna let you do what you do. I'm gonna let you coach. And Kellen Moore, he's like, okay, you wanna let us run? Okay, we'll run it down your throat. You're gonna, give us the pass. All right, we're gonna, Dak, okay, throw for, 80%. He's just taking what the defense gives him. And it's just, he's just doing an amazing job.
And I think I mentioned it last week. It was more of a Bill Belichick approach, where when it was Jason Garrett's team, you thought this is the process, is the word he would use. This is our game plan. We're going to do it no matter what, And Kellen's like, okay, we're just going to line up, see what the defense gives us, and that's how we're going to run it. When Zeke barely runs the ball in game one, and then yes, last this past week he. Has 143 yards and a touchdown. It's like some weeks Dak's going to throw 45 times, other times he's going to throw 188 yards. It's okay. Let's just see what the defense is going to give us. And yeah, we should absolutely give McCarthy credit for allowing Kellen to do what he's doing. And nobody can have a complaint with Dan Quinn. He's completely turned this defense around. I mean, I think overall the defense is ranked 10th. Overall parameters compare,
I
and
think
I
it's
was
ten, yeah.
thinking, let's just be like somewhere between 15 and 20, and I think our offense can carry us.
Yeah.
And it's, I've never seen this many turnovers
Yeah,
in
that.
recent years for the Cowboys. It's like they have a bend, don't break defense. Like they don't have a terrible defense. They're not giving up a whole ton of points, but they're not getting any turnovers.
Right. Yeah, they I mean, for as long as I can remember, I can't even remember the last time, a Cowboys defense was just generating this many turnovers. Like this is probably the most turnovers I've ever seen, as far as like just being from a, like from a fan standpoint. It's been years. We got a, I think we have a like a bona fide great corner in Trayvon Diggs, and when was the last time the Cowboys have had that? Maybe I mean I can't even think. But Byron Jones probably the last one that was, like a,
Byron was
but he
different though. He wasn't getting the
yeah, and he
turnovers.
can't yeah, and he that's the thing. He couldn't catch anything. So it was like he was just a, he was just a great, he was an athlete. He had a, broke the world record in a broad jump. So he was an athlete. But the fact that I think the fact that Trayvon Diggs, he's tall, he's long, and the fact that he played receiver, coming up, I feel like that helps him a lot as well. As far as like ball skills, no one's gonna throw a jump ball on him. So, he's just, making plays while the ball's in the air, and this is a great thing to see.
Yeah, definitely don't underestimate that. Going into Alabama, he went in as a receiver and they changed him to a
Exactly.
corner.
Wow, that, yeah.
So that's I want to say it's interceptions. So I will. not total turnovers, but interceptions wise, this is the most they've had this early in the season since 2007.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's that year. I believe that's the year they went 13-3.
They went to 13-3, lost to the Giants.
Yeah. That was when Romo went to Cabo or whatever in the bye week.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. That was a crazy game.
Which shouldn't really be a big deal, but they lost. So when you throw the interception in the end zone to win the game or to take the lead, you're going to get slack for that. So
absolutely.
But yeah, the Cowboys are doing great. Go ahead and finish your thought before I move it on.
Oh no. Yeah. I was saying like, as far like that season, I think, you know, as far as like Romo, and I think they beat the Giants twice that year. And I, you know, it's really hard, especially like in the pros, to like beat a team three times in a row. And I feel like the Giants just, you know, it was just they were destined that year, obviously. And it was just, you know, it was just one of those years where it was, the Cowboys were just a part of their story. You know, it's that's what football is. So, but.
Yeah. So just wrapping up, moving on into this week, into Sunday's game with the Giants. Dak throws four more touchdowns. Zeke breaks out 143 yards and a touchdown. Schultz has another receiving touchdown. We already said Diggs had two interceptions, and Dak is leading the league in completion percentage at 75%. Now, moving forward, you know, talking Jason Garrett, although Jason Garrett is the offensive coordinator, he's not the head coach, but still, Jason Garrett with the Cowboys has had a lot of success in division. Whether you want to say it's Jason Garrett or just in general, the division's been weak for quite a while. That can bring some worrisomeness up. I think I mentioned it a few shows ago when you were on, that the Giants are the only team that I worry about in the division. I don't think they're going to make a run for the division, but like I said, it's not weird for the Cowboys to blow out the Eagles or blow out the Redskins or vice versa. They've been blown out by both. But every time they play the Giants, it always seems like it's an ugly game. It's a struggle. Whether they win or lose, it's always a close game.
Right. Yeah, like a 17-14 type. Yeah, like it's always been like that. Yeah.
And how this is set up, this matchup, I don't want it to be a low-scoring game. You know, if you tell me both teams are going to score a lot of points, it's going to be a shootout. That makes me feel better. Then it's going to be a close game. You know, both teams are going to score under 25 points because that's got Jason Garrett offense written all over it.
Right.
Underperforming, maybe a consistent, but not a pretty offense. And you definitely don't want the way the Cowboys are moving the ball and doing it. You don't want them to struggle with that. I completely expect there to be a game where the Cowboys are going to give up 30 points when they shouldn't. Because, you know, they get a lot of turnovers, but it's still this defense. They don't have a whole lot of talent on it outside of a couple of pieces. So that doesn't scare me, but you're going to tell me this offense is going to be held under 25 points or even under 20 points. That would scare me.
Yeah. I feel like Jason Garrett, I feel like he's going to, you know, try to control the clock. He's a boring coach, so he's going to, you know, run the ball. You know, he's going to, you know, try to get Saquon going, but I mean, it's really up to the D-line at this point. They've been playing really well. And I feel like, you know, if they kind of neutralize, you know, Saquon, and I feel like if they, you know, I guess cause turnovers, cause Daniel Jones is going to give you one, he's going to give you at least one, he's going to fumble or he's going to throw a pick. So, I feel like they'll get at least two turnovers this game. But that's where it is. Like, they just got to get the Giants off the field because they want that. They know that the Cowboys are, you know, one of the best offenses in the league. And, you know, if they have the ball there, I mean, they're going to score. So they just want to keep them off the field. And that's what I fear, is that the Giants are going to slow the game down and limit the possessions, limit Dak, you know, from being on the field. I'm pretty confident in my pick, as far as like, you know, I got the Cowboys winning, obviously, but it's just one of those games, you know, the Giants are the Giants, and the Cowboys it's always a dog fight when they play them. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. In recent memories, it's just the the Cowboys will get you built up. You're like, okay, okay. And then they will give you just, it's not, okay, I don't expect them to win every game, but they're going to put up an ugly performance again against a team they should beat or something. That's why this game kind of scares me. It's also the Giants in division team. But obviously, I don't think there's anybody that can pick the Giants to win this game. I agree. Yeah. Neutralize Saquon. Put the ball in Daniel Jones' hand. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. He only has one this year, but I chalk that up to a boring, safe offense, which is okay. Jones can run the ball, which is weird to say because when he does, it doesn't look like he's not going to, you know, run the ball 10 times for 80 yards, but he may have 2 30-yard runs out of nowhere.
Yeah, right? He's pretty fast. He's an athletic quarterback, and I think they'll probably pay more attention because of the way, you know, Sam Darnold was running in the first half, you know, of last game. So, and he's, you know, he's a fast quarterback. He's, you know, he's probably like a 4.5, 4.6 guy, and that can, especially when you're playing man, like, you know, as far as like football, like if you're playing man, you're not really paying attention to the quarterback. You don't really have a spy. And so, you know, all the receivers are running their routes and, you know, everybody's guarding their man and the quarterback's the, you know, the only one that's not really being guarded. So, and he can take off, he can, you know, he can get those yards, but, you know, hopefully they, you know, make the adjustments. They saw what they did with Sam Darnold and like they did in the second half. And, you know, hopefully they can just pull this one out.
Yeah. And the fact that the Giants have, man, I still don't want to call him a mobile quarterback, but he obviously is. That's just not their game plan. They're not going to be a run first team, or leave the pocket and quarterback sneak or quarterback run the first. But I guess this kind of makes me feel better that Jalen Smith isn't on the Cowboys. Cause I can just imagine, I can just imagine just juking Jalen Smith out. Like nothing against Jalen, but ever since his injury, he can't plant and switch, you know, and change directions.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. We were going to mention that Jalen Smith was released this week. He's on the Packers now. But going back to Saquon, coming off an injury last year, I mean, it's good that he's not having a great season. He only has 130 yards rushing on the year, as opposed to Zeke having 143 last week.
Right.
So that's good. But, you know, if there's a game for Saquon to get back into it, it's against the Cowboys.
Yeah, he's always due for it. I feel like he always does something great, you know. He's one of those splash players. Like he's due for, you know, like a 150, 2 touchdown game. And I'm not going to say he's going to break one this game, but you know, one of these games coming up, you're going to turn on the game and they're going to have a, you know, they're going to go back to, you know, where the Giants are playing and he's going to have a 75-yard touchdown. And this is one of those things. That's just who he is. That's the type of player he's always been.
Yeah, and luckily, we kept saying that about Zeke for a while, and I was worried he was done, and he might be. I still don't think he was the running back he was before, but he's getting some of that back, being in better shape than he was before. But yeah, that's what we kept saying about Zeke is, well, he's due for one, and it took a year and a half for him to really get a good couple of games. I mean, going back a couple of weeks ago, he had 2 touchdowns and 95 yards rushing, I believe. And then, you know, obviously last week had a great game, but there's really not a lot I can look at this team other than it being the Giants. I mean, you have a good two-headed running back combo going. I think it's a good thing that they play the Patriots the next week because it's another team that it's not a game that, okay, look, we're not going to worry about the Giants as much this week. We're going to look forward to this game.
All right, that's a good point.
Yeah, they don't have a game coming up because they play the Vikings and they have a bye week mixed in there too. So it's
fair point.
Yeah, it's not something that is worrying me too much, and that in itself worries me. Being a Cowboys fan, it's like, okay,
exactly.
Wait,
it shouldn't even be like that.
What's the catch?
It shouldn't be like, because the thing is, like, it's like, if we're being completely honest, like looking at the schedule, they should rattle off the next 5 if we're just going off of previous, you know, performances, how they played the Chargers, how they played the Panthers, how they played Tampa Bay. And like, it's just, they going into that Chiefs game, they should be 8-1, but you know, I've always thought about like, man, how do other teams fans feel knowing that, you know, their team's going to just go in there and do what they're supposed to do. Like, it's just, I've never had that comfort as a Cowboys fan. And it's just, it's tough, but I feel a little different about this team because like, it's like a different energy. It's like, okay, their offense is solid. Their defense is playing, you know, they're exceeding expectations, like clearly. And their schedule for the next at least 3 games. I know the Broncos are 3-1 right now, but I'm not really a believer in them yet. But the next 3 games, you know, Giants, Patriots, Vikings, combined record 3-9. It's like they should easily win these games.
Yeah. Yeah. Considering take the Eagles out of it. They're right. 2-1 against 3 teams that are 9-3 right now.
Exactly.
You know, and they're competing at every level. And I like that they're ending the season in Philadelphia, not to get ahead of ourselves. Typically that's a game you don't want to deal with, but you're thinking, okay, they're probably going to be wrapped up with the division by then. So that's not a game you're worried about. And the Eagles are probably way out of it. Who knows what's you know, their game plans are going to be. They just want to beat, you know, wear their shirt that says beat Dallas.
Yeah.
But going back to your point, when you're saying it's nice for other teams just to know, you know, right. Even, you know, to take it from the other side, you know, the Lions most years know
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen until this year. The Browns knew that. I mean, outside of Romo getting hurt, Dak getting hurt last year, Cowboys really never had those seasons. Take those three straight 8-8 seasons. They were in it in the last game of the year and they would lose. They had a chance to win the division. So it's just about every year they're in the playoffs or they're have a chance to go in the playoffs in the last week. It's like
every year.
Yeah.
Every single year. And it's always against the team that they're supposed, like, you know, like the one that bothers me is it was the Washington game. I'm trying to figure out which year that was. But I remember the game vividly. It was in Washington and, you know, all they had to do was win. And, you know, they went up there and laid an egg and it was just like, man, like it always comes down, especially in the NFC East, especially when, you know, the Cowboys are 8-8 and they don't close it out whenever they're supposed to. It's just, they always go to where. Yes.
I think it was the next year. It was one of those 8-8 seasons. They played the Eagles at home. But they were in Washington the week before, and they did what they were supposed to do. That's when Romo had gotten hurt. No one really knew what he was, what happened.
Yeah,
but he was kind of limping. But he threw the touchdown, and
he had he had a lacerated spleen or something like
no,
that.
No, no, this is he hurt wild. His back. It was weird because we didn't think it was his back. He was limping, but it was a back issue. Where we're he did this heroic performance and won. We're going, you know, we were going to be eliminated if we lost. And then he has to have surgery out of nowhere. Like, he has surgery. He's out for week 17. And then that's when, was it Kitna or Olsen? I think it was Kitna in week. Maybe it was Olsen. Yeah, no.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, Olsen. They go to Philadelphia and you think like, okay, well, we're going to lose. And then they're in it. They have a chance to win on have a game winning drive at the end and they throw a interception. I remember that because they had a meme of him taking off his mask and like, oh, surprise, it's still Romo because he threw an interception.
So he got a lot. I can go all day about him, but
that's what it is. Oh no, we can have an episode just about Romo. I'm not a Romo hater at all, and it may sound like I'm a Cowboys homer. Of course, I'm a fan, but if the Cowboys were 1-3 right now, I don't know that we would commit this much time to it, but I would come on here and just rip him a new one too and be very critical.
Yeah. I love Romo. I would say he's like my second favorite Cowboy, maybe third, but it's, you know, I feel like he was just way better than, you know, everybody gave him his credit for. And he's just, you know, just the team he had around him. Like, he never really had an O-line. And then when they finally got an O-line,
he just couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, they just couldn't stay healthy. So, I mean, like, who, like, he got hurt in the preseason. So it's like it's those things you just can't really, you know, you can't really predict. And it's just, it was just tough.
He had so many more game winning drives.
Yeah.
Than he right. did, you know,
he led
fumbling in Seattle, throwing right. the interception the next year against the Giants. And then I think it was the year you were talking about. They went 8-8, lost in Washington. He threw the interception at the on the last yeah. drive. Yeah, there were times that he did, if you want to call it choke or whatever. I'm sure it wasn't the pressure that got to him. It was just that that play turned out that way, whether it was a mistake yeah. or whatever.
In that one game, you remember it was a shootout whenever they were in Dallas against Denver.
He throws for five touchdowns, 500 yards. And
500 yards, yeah. and then he throws the pick. Like, it's just like it's – like he can't really.
What are you gonna do? Your defense gave up 55 points,
and he got killed for it. I remember that because like my friends were calling me and they were like, you know, Romo's a choker. I'm like, he had 500 yards, you know, like what else can he do? Like the defense gave up a running touchdown to Peyton Manning, so it's like, that's something that you don't really game plan for, and it's just, it's just one of those things.
If you look at his overall career, there were, I believe, 2 years he had defenses in like the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, they were just pretty bad. But those 2 years, they Horrible. Made the playoffs, and that was the year they went to Green Bay. Des caught it that year. They'd won a playoff game and then lost. And and then it was the other year that they had a good defense. They beat Philadelphia. That's when they shut out Philadelphia in week 17.
Yeah.
And then Philadelphia came and they're like, oh, yeah, Philadelphia wanted to lose because they didn't want to play, And then they blow them out the next week in the wild card. And you have to say, okay, he didn't get things done certain times. And okay, well, I'm not trying to compare him to Joe Montana or Tom Brady or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he was a really good quarterback that dealt with really bad offensive line. Like if they had offensive line they had at the beginning of Dak's career with Romo and you give him Zeke, oh my gosh, it's... there's not an 8-8 season. And I would say those 8-8 years, Romo didn't, they didn't go 8-8 because of Romo. They did go 8-8 because of Romo, but it's right. because they would have been 5-11 without
him. It's honest. And it's almost like Russell Wilson in Seattle. Like he hasn't really had that much talent. Like without Russell Wilson, they'd be, the years past, they will be, one of the worst teams in the league, but it's just
they had a Legion of Boom and right early in his career they go to Super right. Bowls, but absolutely now it's Seattle's looks like they should be a really good team and they've been pretty average a few years. They've had good records, but it's Russell Wilson keeping them into that. They hadn't that defense is just
like the years before DK after the Legion of Boom, they were I can even name the receivers, maybe I'm not sure if Doug Baldwin was there but they never, he was always just out there just making plays, just doing what he had to do. And it was just like that. Like Tony Romo was just, he was a great QB. Like he led NFL history in game winning drives and comebacks at one point in time. So it's just like, what else do you want him to do?
Yeah, but and people bring up his, and I don't have the information in front of me because I didn't know we were gonna, dig so deep.
Yeah, Romo, yeah, absolutely.
But they want to bring up his December record, but if you look at his November record, it's outrageous. Like he's only lost, four games in his whole career in November or something.
That's wild.
But we definitely need to have maybe we'll do a Dak Romo, not versus, because I like both of them.
I like both of them too.
Cowboys fans. Don't understand. You can like one and like the, if you're a Romo fan, you have to hate Dak.
Absolutely.
If you like Dak, you have to hate Romo. It's not absolutely. Like it wasn't a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation here. But we can. Yeah, I'll get all the stats up. But if you're a Romo hater, just go back and look at Romo highlights. It's ridiculous. I'm not saying he needs to be in the Hall of Fame. We could have a discussion about that. I'm not saying he's a definite no. But he's definitely not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but give him a weak year. I'm not saying it would be crazy to put him in the Hall of Fame with some of the stuff. If you want to, and I think he might one day because they combined it with, if you combine it with his broadcasting career, because he's a great color commentator. So, Jerry Jones has never played in the NFL. He's in the Hall of Fame. So why can't you say, okay, Romo was a great above average quarterback and had a great career. was a Cowboys quarterback, and he's also, give it 10 years.
He has he pretty much has all the records as far as like passing for the Cowboys.
And Dak will break that because, you add an extra game to, a lot of records are going to be broken because there's more games now. But, I'm going to stop talking about that because I think there's a lot of good stuff we could bring up
episode. We'll definitely discuss it.
We'll do a lot of clickbait title. We'll probably call it Dak versus Romo just to get a bunch of haters in here. Cowboys, it's a weird time. It's a noon game, I believe. Is that correct? Is it a noon game? Maybe it's not.
They play they're the 3:25 slot.
I thought it was weird that it was noon for a Cowboys Giants game, even though the Giants weren't very good. Okay, no, I was wrong. So yeah, real quick, we're gonna bring up before we move on. If you're a sports gambler, if you're into gambling in general, sometimes you might find yourself searching for trends and insights and help improve gambling profits. If you've ever struggled to find cappers who are consistently profitable on their picks, you need to try Cappers Collective. It's a free sports gambling newsletter delivered to your email every Thursday morning without fail. I check before I'm in my morning routine looking at my phone, it's already popped up in my inbox on Thursday mornings. You'll find the most important sports gambling trends, insights, and the most profitable cappers you can follow in the world. Again, it's a weekly newsletter, absolutely free, not a free trial or anything like that. You just sign up. They don't try to get you into purchasing something after the fact. They don't spam you. One email a week, sometimes two if it's something special, but basically just one newsletter. You just subscribe to them, to Cappers Collective, for free on their website, cappers-collective.com. I'm going to put the link in the description box. Don't miss this opportunity to deepen your wallet today. And I also want to say that this episode is brought to you by Apogee Graphics. If you need signs, banners, graphics, or even designs, you need to get with Apogee Graphics. You can also grab Apogee Graphics apparel. And they also have a Christmas sign deal going on right now. You can go to their website, apogeegraphics.com. It's spelt a little different than you would think. So again, I have that website also in the description box. Or you can call them at 682-233-5278. Apogee Graphics. So jumping past this week, both of us obviously think the Cowboys are locked to win the division. It would have to be some crazy injury situation where they're not going to win. I personally, I haven't done the science about it, but I personally have the Cowboys right there in the 3-4 range in the NFC. I obviously, I have Rams number one. I know the Cardinals are undefeated, and the Seahawks don't. You still want to hold out hope, but obviously the Rams beat the Seahawks on Thursday Night Football. But the Rams are 4-1. I have Cardinals at number two. And then I have the Buccaneers, Cowboys mixed in with maybe the 49ers there and a few other teams. The Panthers, obviously. Yeah. But I think the Cowboys
are right. Green Bay,
that's a hard one too because they get blown out by the Saints. And it's just weird how that's transpiring. Green Bay's in there too, but because they were blown out by a team that's just lost to the Giants, it's hard to just put Green Bay in there. But maybe I'll even extend that to the 3-4-5 range. It's the Cowboys, Panthers, Green Bay, Buccaneers, all in there. But yeah, I definitely think this is our thoughts right now after four games. Obviously going into the playoffs, our opinions might be different on how they end the season, but I think this team definitely has a chance to at least, mess around and get into the NFC championship game.
Yeah. I feel like this is one of the best years to, at least it just, I guess it kind of depends on like the seeding and who they play, second round, third round. But there aren't many teams in the league where, they go in and play and I'm like, they're going to lose this game. Like it's, maybe not even the Cardinals. Like if they, when they play the Cardinals, it's like, okay, Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight, but it's just,
Cardinals,
you know,
don't
like,
really scare me that much either. Yeah, it's
it's like just that. Like one of those. I think they're having. I mean, I don't like the Cardinals are good, but they're not like. I fear the Rams way more than the Cardinals, and it's just, you know, because the Rams have that's probably the two best defensive players in the league, and it's, you know, I'm not really fearful of the Cardinals. I think they're just hot right now, but you know. I guess we'll see when the time comes, but.
And Matthew Stafford almost beat the Cowboys in a playoff game with an inferior Lions team.
Oh yeah.
Now you're putting Stafford on a better team, a talented team, but yeah, I mean, they're going to have, assuming they, you know, make it to the playoffs, it's going to be because they won their division. Mm-hmm. If they're somehow not able to win this division, it's because, you know, there's not going to be a team, Redskins or Eagles that come out and win 11 games. So not to win this division, you have no chance at the wild card with all the talent in the NFC West. And then you have the Buccaneers and Panthers, and even the Saints, you know, are hit and miss each week. So they're not getting in as a wild card. So, you know, you feel comfortable with the fact, yeah, you're going to host the first game. The second game isn't necessarily, as years before, it would be guaranteed it's a road game because you have two teams with that bye week. But there's only one team, the number one seed, that gets a bye week. So if you don't match up them, you have a chance at hosting another game, which is important because of Amari Cooper somehow not being able to, although he had a good game in Tampa, but not being able to perform the same on the road as he does at home. But yeah, going down the schedule before the year, I thought, okay, Buccaneers, Chiefs are losses, and then we'll go through the rest. But
definitely losses in my eyes.
They should have beat the Buccaneers, and the Chiefs don't really scare me. Mahomes scares me because as good as his defense has been, you know, throw Mahomes out there. That's, you know, it's not Sam Darnold trying to run the ball. It's completely different element.
Yeah.
But
and he's the I still think he's the best quarterback in the league. Like, I know they've been struggling, but one could argue, you know, they're a couple fumbles away from being undefeated. So it's just, you know, it's just one of those things where it's a team game. You know, football is a team game. He can go out there and do whatever he wants, but like he's gotten a little too confident. That's what it looks like whenever I watch the games. He's, you know, making throws, and, you know, a lot of the defenses are, you know, okay, like, we've seen this before. We've seen the no look, you know, we've seen the, you know, the side arm, and, you know, they've been making plays on the ball. So, but I still think he's the best QB in the league. And
well, take it the other way. They're a couple fumbles away from being undefeated. Before they won last week, they were a Browns botched punt away from being 0-3, you know, because the Browns had that game until they just, you know, gave it away.
Yeah.
So really, it's hard to tell. I mean,
football is like that. It's just, you never know.
You can talk about, the Saints blow out the Packers, the Giants beat the Saints. That doesn't make the Giants better than the Packers. I mean, it doesn't even make the Saints better than the Packers. That game that week, sure. But that's, you know, any given Sunday. That's why we watch.
Any given Sunday,
This is a great time of year going into, you know, we're talking about moving into week 5 of the NFL. You're seeing all these crazy things happening. The season's really evolving as storylines are being made. You have the first weeks of NHL and NBA going on with preseason. In a few weeks, they're going into their regular season. You have baseball playoffs. It's everything's happening. Yeah,
the best time of year, in my opinion.
I like it because I consider it going into the holidays because I think Halloween's kind of the start of all that. Because as soon as Halloween's over, you're talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Halloween's over. And they're putting Christmas trees in Walmart and everything.
Absolutely. I mean, hey, go to Home Depot; they have Christmas stuff up.
Wow.
Yeah. So. That's why outside of sports as well, it's my favorite time of the year. Being in Texas, you're finally getting cooler temperatures. It's the fall. And then you have all these sports converging, including college football. And watching college football, I was like, yeah, this is all right. I think we just were not having fans last year, I just think we were okay with it because we had not had any sports for, I don't know how long it was, a month or two. And we were just ready to watch something and it was all right. But until this year, seeing packed stadiums, loud crowds,
I love it.
We really were missing that. And college football was missing that because I think last year I would watch, you know, the TCU games, the Longhorns games. It was hard just to switch and watch any game. Like, right, you know, we have YouTube TV and I probably get 10 college football games on at a time every Saturday.
Right.
I can sit there and turn on Air Force Kent State, you know, if that's a random game. Like, I'm just like, I like watching it. It's crazy. I love college football. This weekend's a pretty above average weekend, I won't call it a big weekend. You obviously have Texas OU coming up.
Right.
TCU and Texas Tech's not a bad matchup. TCU's been doing really well. Texas Tech has been doing really well outside of losing to Texas. But that has been kind of I know it's an old rivalry from the Southwest Conference, but I think it's quietly becoming a pretty big rivalry outside of TCU and Texas Tech. Students, obviously, it's a rival. But every year, it seems like there's something crazy going on. It's real aggressive. It's always close games. I enjoy watching TCU and Texas Tech. And I'm a TCU fan. I mean, growing up, I'm a Longhorns fan, first of all.
Right.
But growing up, TCU's kind of been in the Mountain West Conference and the Conference USA. And you know, they're the closest large university to me in Fort Worth. Right. So I've always been like a secondary TCU fan, and I still kind of am, except when they play Texas, I want Texas to win.
Right.
But that's an intriguing rivalry, TCU and Texas. I also have Alabama and A&M playing, Texas A&M playing.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Yeah, because A&M.
I was about to say this, but it's not. I don't think it's going to be a good game.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, looking at it on the schedule, this was going to be a good game.
Amazing, both were in the top 10 and everything,
And A&M loses to Arkansas, then of course they lose again last week. But A&M usually, they had Johnny Manziel at the time, but they had beat Alabama and came close to beating Alabama a couple of years, and they kind of came out of nowhere with Johnny Manziel. That's kind of what strutted them to national championship conversation. But it seems like, I think last year Alabama blew them out, but there's always intrigue around that game for me. I think they're not quite their kryptonite, but they, for some reason, they're always kind of like the stick poking Alabama in the side. Like, they won't necessarily go away.
Yeah. They always hang around. It's always a pretty good game. I just think this year is, you know, I feel like it's just really two dominant teams.
It's going in two different directions. Yeah, I would pick Alabama before, but A&M's kind of been sliding down the last couple of weeks. Alabama's been doing nothing but winning.
Yeah.
They hadn't really played any good teams, but, you know, I don't know their schedule off the top of my head, but A&M might be one of the best teams they've played so far this year.
Yeah, but Alabama, I think they played – I know they played Ole Miss, I think, or did they play them? I know they killed somebody last week, and it was supposed to be an amazing game. They beat Miami, who was 14th coming in by like 30. They beat Ole Miss last week by 21.
Yeah, they beat and Ole Miss is a good team. They're ranked. Yeah. They were ranked. Yeah, they're still ranked. And rankings are, you know, they're so subjective. It's definitely. It's weird. I thought Texas should have still been ranked after they blew out Texas Tech. Looking at, they lost to Arkansas, but Arkansas, up until they lost, you know, got destroyed by Georgia, was a good team. And obviously Texas is only ranked this week because they're playing OU, and that's a big. Although I think Texas is good enough, I'm not saying they're bad. I think they're a good team this year. It's hard for a first year coach to, you know, turn that. And he was the first Texas first year coach to win his first couple of games in a long time. And so he's got to get that program under him. And I think they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. I think so.
And I think this is going to be a good game. It usually is. I mean, was it last year, the year before, five overtimes? It was ridiculous. And every year OU's supposed to beat Texas, and they usually get the past, 10, 15 years, they usually get the better of them. I think Texas will get one every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. It was a point where, cause I grew up a Texas fan. So, it was a point where Texas was really dominant over them, especially like during the Vince Young, Colt McCoy era.
Yeah.
And then, after that, OU kind of took over. I believe Case McCoy won one against OU, but it's like after Colt McCoy, it was just, it was kind of downhill in that series. But
I mean, look at Oklahoma's quarterbacks. You had Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, they had Baker. They had Kyler.
Hurts 1 year. It's
Hurts.
They've gone on a good streak where Texas has had good college quarterbacks.
Right.
Like Ellinger is on an NFL roster. And they kind of have a two quarterback, or I'd say I call it a 1.5 quarterback system, where they kind of have their starting quarterback, but they're not sure yet, so they go back and forth.
Right.
So, college, it's easier to get by with that because they have an outstanding running back. But
he's amazing.
I think with first year coach, I think they're going to be all right. You don't have to say, hey, because it's Texas and because it's such a big ego, and I get it. There's a lot of Texas fans and Cowboys fans, because I'm fans of both, that are a little too much. And I understand the people that hate Texas and hate the Cowboys. I understand your...
Me too.
I understand it.
Me too.
But it doesn't have to be, hey, they're back or they're not.
Right.
I think they're going in the right direction. They still have... It's odd. They still have a 24% chance. No, that's good backdrop music or back.
Yeah,
sound.
I was looking up the records for the Texas OU games, and OU's won the last 5 out of 6. So
yeah, Texas will get one in there, and most of them are pretty close games until the end.
Right.
Like I said, that 5 overtime game, but it was weird. Texas still has a 24% chance to make the college football playoff, which I thought was kind of crazy. I'm like, okay, give them a couple percent chance. I guess if they win out, they still have to play Oklahoma. And in all likeliness, to get to that point, they have to play Oklahoma twice because they'll play them in the Big 12 championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So you beat Oklahoma a couple times, there's an outside chance. But, yeah, I'm not even worried about that. They could contend for that. But I'm thinking, maybe win 10, 11 games this year. Just stop that streak of where they – I mean, a few years ago they made the Sugar Bowl and beat Georgia. But they're always like 7, 8 wins. Like, this isn't a mediocre team at all. I'm very comfortable saying that. It's a very good team. Honestly, I think they're probably a top 15 team. But how certain rankings go when you have – is Coastal Carolina really where they should be ranked? You can't take that away from them because they're undefeated and they had a great season last year. But line up Coastal Carolina against anybody in the top 10, it's probably a decent game, I guess. I don't follow them that closely. But I think if you line up against each individual 10 games against the top 10, they're probably winning one or two of those games.
Yeah, and Coastal Carolina, they're 15th, right, in this poll. So, but I don't really see them. I'm all about the small schools and the non-power fives, like getting their shot. But I don't see them going to, like Penn State or, I don't see anybody going into Alabama and Georgia, but like Penn State and or even Cincinnati and getting a win. That's just how it is.
And, I'm writing it down because earlier I wrote down Roma versus Dak. We're going to have a conversation about expanding. We're going to have a show about expanding college football playoffs. Why because honestly, you could just expand it to 16 teams and just say, hey, we have all these at-large bids, just like in college basketball. Let's just throw games out there. But yeah, we can get into that. That's a full-on
Episode
for that. But definitely. Yeah, it's it's a situation where, okay, you say Coastal Carolina, Texas. I think Texas probably should win that game. I would worry about it because Texas isn't a dominating team, and it never behooves the top team in an underdog situation. It's like getting in a fight with a girl. Could I get in a fist fight with a girl and win? It's like, no, I can't win.
Wow.
First of all, I wouldn't hit a girl. First of all.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's no way for me. But if you were going to go in and punch them, well, okay, you kick the crap out of them. You're not going to win anyway. So there's no winning in that situation. But Texas, Coastal Carolina in, 10 matchups, I think Texas wins at least 7 or 8 of those.
At least 7, yeah.
But again, it's so subjective about top 25. It's almost like you don't even need it. That's how you're gonna pick. That's how they pick BCS games 1 and 2. That's how you pick now in the college football playoff 1 through 4. And it's like, yeah, you can have a really good team, but if you don't have a really great schedule, or aren't preseason ranked in the top 25, it's gonna be very difficult for you to move up and have a chance at making the college football playoffs. And another game I had on here that I thought was really random, or not random, but really under the radar, is Penn State and Iowa. Penn State's ranked 4th and Iowa's ranked 3. That's got to be the most boring or under the radar top 5 matchup I've ever seen.
Exactly. I've not seen a commercial, anything on it. Like, I probably saw one commercial about it.
And I knew Iowa was tracking up there. I knew Penn State was in the top 10, but that's just like out of nowhere. Iowa's number 3.
It's just one of those games. It's like you said, it's kind of boring. Like,
Penn State's a big name, but
yeah, they're both big names. It's just like, I can't really name, like, I know a few players on each team, but it's like, there are no big stars as far as like, if it was like Georgia versus Alabama at 3 or 4.
Exactly. If it's Georgia, Alabama, right, you're like, I don't care what I'm doing. I'm going to catch some of that game.
I'm going to definitely catch it. Yeah, exactly.
And I haven't checked what channel this is going to be on.
I believe it's going to be on Fox.
I assume it's going to be on a mainstream channel.
It's going to be on Fox.
I mean, this makes me think of, I think 1 year it was Texas Tech and Oklahoma State were both ranked in the top 5, or maybe it was like one of them was ranked 7. It was really random.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game like that. I'm like, it makes me want to go look at the top 25. I'm like, okay, who was ranked 3rd last week? Like, I know Arkansas got knocked down. A&M got knocked down a couple weeks ago. It's like Iowa and Penn State. That's why it's not, maybe being a college football fan in the state of Texas, making TCU, Texas Tech look better than it should be, A&M and Alabama better than it should be. But obviously Texas OU is good. I think it's a pretty solid college football weekend.
Yeah, definitely.
Before you start getting to the end. But every week's pretty intense in college football compared to, Green Bay gets blown out in week 1. Okay, who cares? That makes no difference now. Texas gets blown out by Arkansas. It doesn't matter. They could win out, and I don't think they're really going to make the college football playoff unless they just blow out Oklahoma a couple of times.
Right.
And it's a really different – it's a different situation. So that's why we look at college football from week 1 all the way through is pretty exciting. And now you're starting to get past all the cupcake games where Alabama's actually playing somebody. It's in conference, and it's getting to be that time of the year where once you start getting later in October and you're talking about World Series and the NFL starting to line up playoff seeds and what's going to happen, the bottom few teams are going to be completely out of there, and you're really looking at different matchups. And again, like I mentioned, NBA and NHL starting up. It's just a great time of year with all these different sports going on. It's keeping you busy. That's how much I hate the summer with all that's going on is baseball, especially when I'm a Rangers fan and they're not even in it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love baseball, but it's like, when it's the only thing on and it's like,
there's so many games. It's not important, as important when you lose or win a game as important, because there's 162 of them, as important when the Cowboys lose or win. It really affects the rest of the day, or it affects the first part of my week. It just gets you in a better mood or a worse mood, because it matters. If the Rangers lose, it's like, okay, they have a game tomorrow. In the grand
Right.
scheme of things, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely agree.
Well, Chris, this has been fun having you on now permanently. You're a permanent member of this show.
Yeah, I
So
appreciate it.
every
Thank you.
Saturday here, me and Chris.